He is the one and only Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus. Dunny, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing all right, but I'm still more confused by what you just said. Prevening?
Prevening. A prevening. P-R-E. Prevening. You've never heard that before?
That's the first time for everything, and that's my first thing for today. Never heard of prevening.
Tell it to all your friends. I'm sure it's going to catch on, my good man. So
I've heard of afternoon, and I've heard of evening, and never prevening.
Well, there's a cushion between the two, whatever you consider to be the bridge between an afternoon and evening. That's prevening. Prevening.
All right. I'll take your word for it.
All right. Well, let's get into that victory for the Buckeyes over the weekend. Boy, another blowout win over Indiana. We'll start with your three major takeaways from the victory on Saturday.
The first one was just it was one of the best Buckeye games I've seen in a little bit. Offense, defense, special teams. Just starting on offense, Justin Fields played a very good game. He didn't have a great game. He missed some wide open throws, some deep balls, which was concerning. But he had a lot of good throws, especially towards the sideline. And those are some very tough throws to make, especially in this level of college football. The defense, and then obviously the running game and J.K. Dobbins and Master Teague. On defense, just their overall play. I mean, I think the first three plays from center for Indiana went for loss. They could not move the ball. The only big game they had was a double pass trick play that caught everybody off guard, including the Buckeyes, the coaches. I think it caught Indiana off guard as well, with how well it worked. And then special teams. Chris Olave with a block punt got rolled out of the end zone for a safety. Just all three phases, everybody played to the best of their ability and showed there on Saturday.
Boy, Justin Fields only attempting 24 passes. That's not a bad sign. I mean, he did what he needed to do. You mentioned that he was pretty impressive in the win. Do you get the sense that maybe he hasn't quite been tested to this point in the season?
I don't think it. I can see it. You know, how is he going to react when he's got a lineman coming at him like Wilkes from Michigan State? How is he going to react when he's got the Blackskins of Nebraska coming at him? Now, granted, they're not the same defenses back then, but you know, we'll go with Wisconsin's defense. How is he going to react when he's got a safety blitz coming right in his face? How is he going to do to get rid of the ball when the defense has enough confidence in themselves for the opposing team to be able to blitz somebody? That's going to be really the time to tell, and that time is going to be next week. You won't be able to find out a lot about Justin Fields this week. If he plays anything more into the fourth quarter, I'd be very surprised. But you won't get much out of him this week, but next week will be the first big test of the Justin Fields Ohio State project when they go to Lincoln, Nebraska.
Absolutely agree. Well, let's go to the other side of the ball here. Malik Harrison certainly has been one of those that stood out defensively for the Buckeyes. You think he's made a case as one of the nation's best linebackers to this point?
His coaches sure as heck think so. They are very much on the Malik Harrison train, and I like him as well. He's one of those humble guys. We talked to him yesterday. Very humble in what he thinks of himself and of the team. But he also knows he's got a quiet confidence about him that he knows he's one of the best. He just wants to continue to work hard and keep improving at his craft. Ryan Day and Al Washington definitely think the world of him and what he's able to do. He's one of those that can come off the edge on a blitz, but he can also, you know, stay back in coverage. And I believe he's had a pass breakup or two so far in these first three, four games. So I really like what I'm seeing on Malik Harrison. And it's crazy, he's a local kid from Walnut Ridge High School here in Columbus in the city. Not the best high school or area to grow up in, but it's great to see him and making a name for himself as somebody that also comes back and gives back to the community he grew up in only a couple miles down the road from the Shoe.
Another guy that certainly made a name for himself, or at the very least certainly got himself on the radar, was Master Teague III. He had a great game on Saturday. Only had 10 carries, but he certainly made them count. What can you tell us about Master Teague?
Master, the coaches have said, and I've heard the coaches say something along the lines of he may be the fastest running back that the Buckeyes have. And when you look at him, you don't think that. You think J.K. easily. because Master is one of those guys that will run right into you. He's kind of like the bowling ball of the team as far as he won't try to run around you. He will try to run through you. Well, he will run through you, over you, on top of you, and then run away from you. He's one of those guys that was injured a little bit during camp, so the coaches didn't know what they had with him. Now that they've seen what they have on tape, he's practicing a lot more. He definitely is the number two running back for the Buckeyes. 10 carries, over 100 yards, a 40-yard touchdown run that was perfectly blocked by the offensive line. And you got to give it up to the offensive line as well. These first three games have been an unbelievable job by Coach Sadrawa and the offensive line of how they've been able to block, not just on run blocking, but pass blocking. They have given Justin Fields all kinds of time back in the pocket to try to get rid of the ball. They have done an excellent job, and there's no surprise that all five starting offensive linemen have graded out as champions by the Buckeye coaching staff the first 3 weeks of the season.
Sean Dunnigan with WBNS-TV in Columbus joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, rehashing Ohio State's big win last weekend over Indiana. Certainly seems as though we're going to see a lot more of the same in a couple of days when the Buckeyes take on the Miami Redhawks. Dunny, you alluded to this a little bit earlier, talking about how you'd be a little surprised if Justin Fields is on the field at all in the fourth quarter on Saturday. How much do you anticipate the second unit getting some reps on Saturday afternoon?
I expect them to see a lot of time, maybe the a quarter and a half to the entire second half of the game, just depending on what the score is and how everything is looking as far as health-wise too for the starters and for the first string. It really depends on that and how comfortable the coaches feel putting these guys in. They're not going to put them in if they're not ready, but they also do want to get them some game reps and see how they do against other competition.
Well, yeah, for no other reason. I mean, the depth at some point is going to be tested throughout the course of the year. We're only a few weeks in now, but you'd like to think that getting the second unit some reps, especially in a game like Saturday where Miami's not expected to put up much of a fight, especially in the second half. Style points, I think, to some degree, certainly matter in college football, even though, to some degree, again, it's been downplayed a bit that it doesn't necessarily count. I think they certainly do matter when you factor in the human element. Is anything less than a 40-point putout going to be considered a disappointment on Saturday?
I think it could, depending on what happens throughout the game. If the Buckeyes struggle on offense in the first quarter, first half, where they only put up 28 points, and it looks worse than what the score shows, yes, I think there will be some disappointment. But if it's 35-42 and they're hitting on big plays and they're playing well and on all facets, I think that a 35-point win would be okay. But 40 points seems to be the number by the experts in the desert, and I think that makes sense. That makes complete sense that if it's not a win by 40 or more, then it could be looked at as a disappointment from Buckeye Nation.
24 passes thrown by Justin Fields a week ago. You think he's going to throw more or less than that this week?
I expect to see a lot more of the ground game. J.K. Dobbins threw the first two quarters in a drive into the third quarter. At 193 yards rushing. I think he might get that 200 mark on Saturday. Master Teague might get near 150 on Saturday if everything kind of evens out and everything goes as expected.
Well, having said all of that, you know how much DeMario McCall gets a lot of love in this area for all the obvious reasons. He's been a big factor in the return game, but could this be the kind of game where he gets a few more reps in the offensive backfield?
Absolutely. Could absolutely happen. And I think it will happen where he will get some more reps. He's really been the spell back with Master and with Zinke coming in on third down and passing situations. He's improved his pass blocking a bit, but also he's a very dynamic player when he gets in space. I could easily see him getting on the field a little bit more. But also, this could be one of those games where he could take one back to the house in the return game. It would not surprise me at all.
All right, Dunny, time for you to get out that crystal ball. Taking a look at Saturday afternoon, Buckeyes taking on the Miami Redhawks. We will have it for you here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM beginning at 2 o'clock with the pregame coverage What is your prediction for Saturday?
Well, you mentioned putting up points and style points. Yes, they don't matter, but boy, do they matter in the eye test, both on the field and when you're scoreboard watching on the lower third of your screen. I think style points matter. I think Ryan Day believes in style points, even though we haven't expressly asked him about it. I think Buckeyes win 61-6. We'll go 6, 2 field goals.
61-6 is Sean Dunnigan's prediction for Saturday afternoon.
And don't ask me how they get to 61, because I'm trying to figure that out in my head right now, and I'm drawing a blank.
Hey, man, you got to 6 pretty quick, so I'm okay with that. 61-6 sounds about right. All right, Dunny, I know you guys are also covering high school football this weekend. Which games will you guys be focused on tomorrow night?
Our big game, our game of the week, is Groveport Madison, home of Le'Veon Bell, against Pickerington Central, one of, if not the best team in all of Ohio. Pick Central won a state title 2 years ago. They made it to the state semis last year. This would be their first time playing an in-state opponent, and they'll be on the road once again. I think it should be a very good game and should match up really well between Pickerington Central and Groveport.
Good stuff. Well, Donnie, as always, my friend, we certainly appreciate the time. Have a great weekend, my friend, and we'll do this again next week.
Sounds good. Talk to you next week.